I want to begin by thanking the pranosim of Sivan, of the Chaydish, first the Hirschkovich family, the Ibui Nishmas, Moshe and Yulei, the Shomshav and Aliyah, and the whole family Shmuel Yisimcha and Nachis, and also Chaim and Daniela, Vida Shchusra for Shlema for Daniela Tzipor Basdina, Shushav for Shlema, we shall only hear the service of Tavis and Chush. Frat of the Chlav. Let's learn. We're on page Ayin Zayin in Perigimel, and you might the other edition might be page off, where it says Lidibur Yesh Koach. Well, in the middle of the page actually, Emesi Shagam Hayoyim Lifnei Bias Mashiach. Emesi Gam Hayoyim Lifnei Bias Mashiach. Again, in this perek, the Mechaber is just covering some ground regarding the Maila of his Bardus, what can be accomplished with his Bardus, and some of the Torahs in Lukut Emran, in Sichas Aran. And we're going to Shkar. Throughout the Sefer, we're going to be coming back and analyzing these Torahs in greater detail to be able to understand the Maisa, how to use them practically in our Avoda. So, last week we saw this quote from Rabbi Nachman in Sichas Aran, Reish Chav Ches. Rabbi Nachman, let's just review it for a second. At the top of page Ayin Zayin, it says, "Vayimuva b'seif Sicha Saran, Sicha Reish Chav Ches." Page Ayin Zayin. Shemati b'shma, we did this last week. V'vaday nimtzoyim k'sheim afapi she'ein lem hisbardus. Rabbi Nachman is saying that look, a Jew can be a kosher yid, can be a fine Jew, even without hisbardus. One can be a kosher yid. Avlani kara yisam plight is muvahal muvavalim. But even a kosher yid, even a fine Jew, even a tzaddik, without his bardus, Rabbi Nachman says, there's an inyan of being me'urvavim u'mevulbalim, and missing a certain degree of yishuv adas. That's a very strong statement. And he says, u'pisam k'shiyavim Mashiach v'yikra yisam yu me'urvavim u'mevulbalim. And all these fine Jews, even though they're completely Yehudim k'sherim, when Mashiach comes, and there'll be that complete and sudden change of all of reality, these Jews will be they'll be confused, there'll be some Baha'u'llah. But those of us who are Mizbaidim, who are working on this Mizbaidus, and who have throughout their lives developed this type of a rapport with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, will be like Doimim K'may Ha'odam Acher Hashem. It will be like a person who had a good rest. Shadaito Noichum Yusheva Seitev, and his mind is in a good place, he's rested. Kain Tia Da'atenu Noichum Yusheva Sana Blimu Humo Bilbo. So too, those who were living lives of his Bodhidus, when all of that upheaval will take place at the end of time, it won't uproot them from that place of Yusheva Das. We're going to see this a lot in Rabbi Nachman's Torah, the Ingin of Yusheva Das and his Bodhidus. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be working on that throughout his Bardus to achieve a much, much greater level of Yishuv Adas. So the Mechaber continues, says, Ha'emesu Shagam Hayom, not only when Mashiach comes, but Gam Hayom, today as well, Lefnei Bi'ez Mashiach, even before Mashiach comes, Ev Shalirei says, Ha'evdol Mimisha Mizboided, Lamisha Eino. You can tell the difference between a person who is a Mizboided, a person who is using his bardus, who lives his bardus, the misha ain't on a person who doesn't. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Yisroel, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ben Dor, one of the great balei hashpa mashpiim in Breslov in this generation, nifta some years ago. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Olav Shalom Hayimachanes Hatzasas Bardus Yishuv Hadas. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ben Dor used to call his bardus Yishuv Hadas. Yishuv Hadas. There's no good term in English. Yishuv Adas spent a bunch of there were a bunch of shiurim years ago on the Indian of Menuchas and Nefesh and Yishuv Adas. Lo rak b'nei shebe'emes azman shebodem yashav daito heichan hu ba'olam umam ha'isav. The aleph base of his bardus is there's a time where a person actually is able to stop everything and to be miyashav daito, to settle his mind and to think about where am I in the world and what am I doing with my life. That itself is a tremendous, tremendous benefit from his bodidus. Ela gam ne shek shemekayim es ha'etz hazu v'nem yusha b'dayto. It's not only because you have time and you have the presence of mind during his bodidus to ask the big questions of life, but to think about those questions that we're too busy to stop and think about. Like, why are we doing all of this? And what's the tachlis of our lives? And so on. That, besides that, the person becomes bechlal, a yeshiva dazdika person. That even at work, and in school, and with his family, he becomes a person who's a bal yeshiva daz. He's miyushav. He becomes a person who's miyushav. Omishim is boided miyushav daito, near acheres lagamrei. And this is an andor mensch. Somebody who lives in the way of yeshiva daz. It's a different life. It's a different in everything. The way he is with his family, the way he is with his friends, the way he's with his learning, everything in that way of yeshiva daz is different. Oid kosev Rabbeinu, it's brought down in Chaim Aran, shechonu lahakev echon im yeshlo his bodidus. That you could, that Rabbi Nachman was able to recognize a person, to be somebody that, if this is a person that's involved in his bodidus, Rabbi Nachman said you could recognize that person, you could tell that person apart. I told you, I know this is terribly racist of me, but okay, I'll deal with it. I used to, many, many years ago, when we were first married, so I was teaching, I was learning then, started teaching a little bit, and tried to make a couple extra dollars by being a mashgiach, you know, a caterer. I was working with different caterers, different hashgacha. Not recommended. I mean, there needs to be some good people doing it, but So there were a lot of waiters and there were waitresses and there was a lot of helpers, these big jobs. And my avoda was throughout the entire day kashering. I had a group of chevra that I was kashering with and so on to supervise that it'd be done properly. And myself, I still have marks all over my arms and ovens. And when I was done, I was just watching that, you know, everything is going kesedah. And there was all kinds of help, all different colors, all different religions, all different. And I was talking to many of them over the things. There was some more time, but I had this game in my head that when I was standing there watching all the waiters and the waitresses and everything that was going on, I was trying to pick out of the line who was a Jew and who wasn't a Jew. Now, it's a terrible thing to do, but it wouldn't be nice for me to sit with a safe. I'm supposed to be watching everything. So I would have in my mind who was a Jew, who wasn't a Jew. And then I would spot check. And I would just go over to somebody and say, are you Jewish? And I would say that I had like a 90% batting average, even higher than that. And then none of these kids were religious kids. None of them were from. And they were all dressing the same. And you know, I'm not a Baruch HaKadosh. You don't have to be a Baruch HaKadosh. There was a certain kind of an Edelkeit. And even when this bocher was cursing, it wasn't with the geschmack. I can't explain. It wasn't with the same geschmack as the other guy. It wasn't the same. There was a tvias ayin. Now, I know this is a lot of people say, this is crazy. How can you say it's disgusting and Jews know better? And all that raid, all that talk. There's a hecker that one can have to see who is a Jew. And not just by the nose or by the facial characteristics, but by a certain hanhag of Edelkeit that a Jew has. Even if it's not a person that's shomer Torah mitzvos, there's something different. Something different. And what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that among Jews, you could pick out of the line people who are misbeited them. He was for sure able to do that. Somebody who was in this avod of his bodos is different. It's a different person. You could tell. It's a different person. She says, "Yichal lahakir be'echad im yesh leiz about this." Rabbeinu lo mevar keitzad yichal lahakir says. Rabbi Nachman doesn't explain how could you recognize. How do you see that a person is misbeide? How can we see that? Ach b'sefer shtapchus nefesh bier, but in shtapchus nefesh, which Rabbi Nachman didn't write, it's a likud of Rabbi Nachman's stories with some. And some editing and some things added, the halachas and so on. So there it's explained, Shemisha Mezboided Nesucha Alpanav Busha Mehashem Zbara. It says in Hishtapkus HaNefesh, which is a basic sefer to learn when a person is working on his produce, his Hishtapkus HaNefesh. There it says that what Rabbi Nachman was referring to is that there's a certain busha. And that's what I mean by the Edelkeit. There's a certain sneeze, a certain inyan of busha. Busha, not in a negative way, not guilt, but a certain, and even the word is not shame. Help me with a word over here. I don't know in English.
Discomfort.
A certain, maybe it is, it comes out that with a certain discomfort with, Not being a person that could just abandon himself to the world. A Jew who spends time every day, not just saying Baruch Shem and Ashrei, if you would really concentrate, that would for sure have those results. But not just somebody that says that goes through the siddur, but a person that has a deep personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a busha that comes, like by Har Sinai. There's a certain busha. When you're living with Hashem panim b'panim, it's not the same thing. Al derech marshal, if you have a husband and wife and they have a very, very deep and beautiful and intimate, meaningful relationship, when that guy is in a situation at work where he's got to talk to a girl, he has to. There's somebody at work he's got to talk to. Or there's somebody that's his boss. That's a woman. No. So he has to talk, but on this person, somebody who has a discerning eye will be able to see a measure of busha. Again, it doesn't have to do with that he wears a benetam tefillin. Not lavdavka. But there's a certain measure of busha. It's not the same thing. That doesn't mean you can't have a single person that has tremendous yashamayim. It could also be like that. But among the married chevra, when there's a person who is mekusha, be'emes to his wife, he can't just have like a regular shmooze with somebody else, with another woman. I know it sounds extreme. And I'm just saying this, putting it out there. You're nish nish, like my mother says. You don't agree with me? But one can be makir such a thing on a person. That there's a certain, I think maybe reserved. Maybe that's a better word. That there's, the person is reserved. He doesn't enter into such a thing in Gansen. Because even though his wife might be now an American, he's in Eretz Yisrael, there's such a hiskashus of panim b'panim that when it's a different panim, it doesn't go the same way. There's something that's different. It's not with the same engagement. So what Rabbi Nachman, maybe this is what he's talking about, I'm just conjecturing that Rabbi Nachman, then when they, it says in Shtapkos Nefesh, there's a busha, means that a yid that lives with the Baruch Shalom from the pun. Not that Hashem is someplace over the rainbow, and it's a, some theological, some theological, a subject for theological discussion and debate, but the Baruch Shalom is a living, breathing reality in your life that you mamish talk to and that you share your deepest feelings, your deepest thoughts with, that person can't be engaged in something that's not holy or in the world, the chal, with complete abandonment, without any reservation at all. He can't. The same way, like I've told you many times, that Kedushas Levi said that it's true that there are Jews that do aveiros, but I never saw a Jew that made a scene for doing an aveiro. I never saw him invite his friends to make a party for the whole Olam to come to celebrate my aveiro. You never saw a Jew that made a party for his aveiro. There are Jews that do aveiros, but it's not the geshmak. There's something that's not able to participate. There's a part of the person that doesn't participate in that. When a Jew is fully engaged with Hashem, that's what his body is about. And he lives in that kesher upon the panim of kedaber ish el re'ehu. You know, there used to be a song back in the 60s and 70s. Maybe it's not the 60s, but it was certainly in the 70s. It's crazy how these things come in. But it's looking cup. that there's a, there was a song that had words in it, "You can't hide those lying eyes." I don't remember who sang it.
Eagle.
Oh, yeah? Could be, although I was not an Eagles fan, but it could be. It was on the radio a lot. It was one of those things that got in that got somehow made its way into my messed up head. So, but there was a song that had those words, "You can't hide those lying eyes." There's evidence to that. I mean, there may be people that they're like unbelievable liars, but even such a person. And the other person would be, if there would be a Kesher Shel Emes, then you can't hide the lying eyes. And it's the same thing when a person is Mekusha, that Shem is walking in such a way, then he can't hide his lying eyes. There's a certain degree of Nemanis, of a Kesher, that he can't enter into something. And the person who's trying to pull him away will be able to, if he's a discerning person, will be able to detect that lady at work, be able to detect that, you know, this guy is different. You know, over the years I've had a few men that have asked me about wearing a wedding band at work. Wearing a wedding band. A man shouldn't wear a ring. I don't think I have to go into that. But it's not a good thing for a man to wear a ring. It's a big question, Allah, for a man to wear a ring. It's not the biggest of error, but it's an Indian in Halacha. But this idea of wearing a ring at work, and I've had a few people over these that have asked me that this way all the women at work know that I'm married. And my answer is always the same. I said, if you need to have something on your finger that they should know that you're married, you shouldn't go to that place at all. If you need to have a ring to... So they say, it's not to remind me, of course I know. It's just for them. I said, nah. If you really know, then you don't need a ring. When a person, be'emes, is with a wife, upon him, a husband, they know how to be invisible. Even when you're talking to somebody, you're invisible. And when you're not in that relationship, you can wear rings on every finger, like people do that, and your nose, and your eyes, and your ears, and it's going to help. Because you're open for business. You're open for business. So the ring that you're wearing has to be something that's very pneumistic. And when it's pneumistic, you don't need to wear jewelry to you're not approachable, which doesn't mean you don't work with people. You're a normal person, you work with people. But in a way of anything, the slightest flirtation, anything that like that, you closed. It's not shy. Can't happen. And there's a life of his body with Hashem as well. It changes a person's life in every way. Changes a person, but Moshe Rabbeinu had such an inyan with Hashem's book that Evid Neman Karosala. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't flirt. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't flirt with anything else. He wasn't shy. But Moshe Rabbeinu did. It was Evid Neman Karos. Moshe Rabbeinu was with the Baruch Shalom by Shavuos by Matan Torah upon Yibeshema. He was in such a way that he went over there and he was in such a mahalach. I mean, Ad Kedei Kach, this is a little bit of an Egel and a Kuda, but Ad Kedei Kach, that he really couldn't be married as a regular person after that, which is unique in our history, such an Indian that's not our way. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, it wasn't his Indian anymore to be a regular, regular husband. Wasn't shy, even though it's not in a way of the regular way of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was miyuchad, something different, but he couldn't. He couldn't anymore be in such a relationship. Dibuyesh Koch Mufla. And this introducing all the main inyanim that we're going to be going into. Obviously, the big ingredient in his bodhus is actually speaking. Even though Rabbi Nachman does teach us that there are times that you can't speak, either because there are other people around or because you're just not able to, you're not able to articulate something, that there is an avoda even of silent hisbodus. There is such an avoda of silent hisbodus. But the ikur is, of course, is with dibur. And even when Rabbi Nachman is speaking about hisbodus in silence, It wasn't just thought, it was speaking inside of your head. Not just sight, but speaking in your brain. Even screaming inside of your head. Screaming in your head. But you can't always scream out loud. See, sometimes you have to scream in your head, but you're screaming out loud inside your head. The Koach of Dibur is something that we've spoken about many, 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 many times over the years. Now, this is Maharals and Sfasemis and the Rapsolics and the Vilma Goyims and the Rabbeinu Bechayis and the Rambans. It's a Dibur. Who Om Aviyah, Hashem created the world with Dibur. What does that mean? What is the Koach of Dibur, of speech? Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nas, Ruach Piv Kol Tzavon. And when Bechlal Mehem's creation is that Ruach Mamal is that a as we hear on the Nefesh Chai, it means, as you know, means the unique status of human beings, that he's a Madam, that he can speak. And if that's the case, which it is, then obviously Dibur is something that is the deepest koach that a person has, the koach hadib, the ability to communicate, to speak. Lekut Maran, it's brought down to Nyan Tzadigov. Omer. Rabbi Nachman said, "Shahadibur yesh l'kor gadol ma'od." Speaking about something has a tremendous cover. Hello, yecholim lilchayish al knei sreifas leituch aliros. Rabbi Nachman knew that it's possible to even change physical reality through speech. A knei sreifa means a rifle, and one he says is able to utter certain words, and as a result of that, to disable a rifle that it shouldn't be able to work. These are things he could do. The big tzaddikim could do such a thing. But through dibur, one is able to affect reality. I know that my daughter told me. I once spoke to you about this. I don't know how this works. What it is, but. There are many studies that have been made about this, about how Dibur can change. And when it comes to plants, speaking to plants. So my daughter said that they had such a thing that they did in school. She's a teacher. They did that in school because she had read about it. And they had flowers or something. That there were two flowers. They made in the class an experiment. There were two pots, whatever, flowers. And there was one that all the girls were going over and saying, good morning, and shmuzing with a little bit, how you doing, how's everything, Hashem should help you to grow, and to be strong, and the other ones when you weren't allowed to talk to. not talking. And she said it's totally different. The ones that were spoken to, and then she told me they had other things than to yell at the other ones, and to talk, and it has a hashpah on me. I never read anything about it, just trusting what my daughter told me, that there was a thing that they tried, and that this is something which has been, she said that she read about it, this is something which has been proven to be true, that even to something which is not human, I'm not talking about an animal, but even a tzameach, a plant, that it's effect, animal for sure, a human being. But even a tzemech mistam, even a domim, that's true. It means even something that doesn't have a nefesh of a tzemech. It doesn't even a rock, even a rock or a table. There is something there, and I don't know about any of this things. I've never read up on it. But there's something there, even in physical mitzvahs. Dibur is a koach, gadol ma'od. Kelo yichon lucha shel kneisef shel tuch aliras va'avein. And in that context, Rabbi Nosson said that Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about his burdens. There was a long shmooze that he gave, a very wondrous talk. We learned last week that Rabbi Nachman said that Akadekach, that it could be Mevatel Gzeir. That was that through our Hizbardus, we're able to, Hashem revealed such a midah that a person through Hizbardus can Ki'ilu, Kivyachal, distract Hashem from something that he's Isaac in, that's not, that's a Gzeir, that one can grab Hashem's attention, even though we don't understand it, because Hashem is attentive to all things all the time. But he was Megala that he works with us in such a way that through speaking to Hashem, one can draw Hashem to him in such a way that there are xeris rose that are misbatim. There are negative, dangerous decrees that become batim. We learned that last week. I'm going to talk more about that. So he explains. Page Ayin Ches. Al his birthday, Ayin Kol Karach and the Katrigan. Lukut Emran Tinyon Hatzadik Zayin, Rabbi Nachman says the following. Shemati b'shmerli nyan mailas asicha ben leben kaina. Rabbi Nachman says, I heard from Rabbi Nachman, or in his name, the mail of speaking to Hashem. Sh'omar sh'al tfilas u'tchinas u'bakoshas hastuvas mikvar. I'm sure that many of you know this moshel that Rabbi Nachman gave, that when we compare his bodhus to the regular tfilas that we have in this city, that have already been established for us. All of the mechablim, all of the terrorists, and all of the mekatrigim, doesn't mean the Arab terrorists, but all the mechablim, all the mekatrigim, all of the koiches of the other side, they're familiar with that. They're very, very used to, they know our words. So the fact that you and I will get up and say Ashrei, and a couple of us can say Ashrei, Ashrei V'Secha, so the Mekatrigim know that is a word that we've said thousands of times in our lives, and occasionally with Kavana, often without any Kavana. But the Mekatrigim, Rabbi Nachman said, the other side expects us to use these words and is not surprised by them. And over time, in each person's life, has developed some sort of an iron dome to stop these words from moving forward in the person's mind and heart and from being effective in Shemayim. It's like the same old Ashrei. Now, a person can make his Ashrei different each time, but that's not how most people operate. There are big people that do that, that every single Ashrei in their lives is different. But most people, it's yesterday's Ashrei, today's Ashrei is not so different. It could be it's the same, or not even as good as yesterday. So the marshal that Rabbi Nachman gave is Heim Orvim al Hadrochim Shal Elu HaTfilas. Tfilas have to go a certain path. They travel on a certain road from the person's mouth till they get to where they're supposed to get to. It's not a matter of, obviously, a physical trip, and it's not an inyan of the passage of time. It's much deeper than that. But there is a mahalach. Like when Chazal tell us that the tfilas, our tfilas, first have to stop off. Our tefillahs first have to stop off in Yerushalayim and in Chevron by the Mercy of Machpel. All of our davening makes a stop in Yerushalayim and Chevron. It means you're standing and you're davening in New York, and your tefillahs stop off in Yerushalayim and by the Avos and the Imahos. I'm not talking about a passage of time. I'm not talking about radio waves. It's a very, very deep inyan. What does that mean, that our tefillahs have to go by way of Yerushalayim, by way of Chevron? They have to go in such a... And then when a person learns the Svarim HaKadoshim, you see that even from Yerushalayim and Chevron until they ascend to Shemayim, again, until doesn't mean time, but in order to ascend to Shemayim, the tefillahs have to go through a certain Bati Dinim. There are different Bati Dinim that are judging that tefillah. That the tefillah is being judged. And whether it should go to the next level, or to a higher level, or whether it gets stuck. And it's grounded. It has nowhere to go. Because the tefillah doesn't have the energy. This tefillah doesn't have the kavanah, doesn't have the energy to ascend. So it goes to Yerushalayim, goes to Chevron. And then if it makes it through those checkpoints, in Yerushalayim and Chevron, then the tefillahs can ascend. But there are Bati Dinim that are and Malachim that are judging the tefillahs and how that works. This is what I'm talking about. And the tefillah is being judged at different places along the way. And the tefillah can be told, okay, you're very, very sweet, and this is as far as you can go. And the tefillah wants to be able to go, there should be poi lamaisa, should go to the highest place and make huge changes in the person's life and in the world. but the tefillah doesn't have the oomph, doesn't have the energy to make it to the top. So the tefillah is stopped along the way. There are different places to stop. 24 batei dinim. There are different stops that the tefillahs make along the way. So, without davening, Rabbi Nachman says, without regular davening, with regular davening, the three times a day davening, there are enemies that are waiting to ambush. Hem orvim al hadrochem. Hem orvim al hadrochem. They know that this guy passes by here every single day. They know. They cased out this guy, and they know that this is every single day. This is what he does Ashrei, and he does Hashem Ashrei Rabincha. These are the words that he says. So this map, this trip of our daily tefillahs three times Shachas Mincha Maariv is being carefully observed and watched by the other side. Now it sounds like something crazy, but it's in Metzius like that. Svarim explain what it means, this Metzius. And when you're traveling down the same road, it's like the guy, that old joke about the guy that, he says the guys are sitting on the work site, they're working construction, they're on the 100th floor someplace, and they're opening up their lunch, and this guy says, if my wife gives me tuna fish again, I'm gonna kill myself. And she gives him every day tuna fish, he can't take it. So the two other guys open up their sandwiches. They all say, if my wife gives me butter, if my wife gives me, I'm going to kill myself. So they open up and they say, oh, thank God. It's something else. But the Polish guy, he doesn't open up his sandwich. He just goes with his bag and starts to get ready to jump off. If his friends say to him, whoa, what are you doing? He says, no, I know, I make my own sandwiches. My own sandwich. So the Polish guy doesn't have to. There's no excitement. It's just this. So when it comes to davening, we make our own ashrays and Baruch Sharma, as you understand. We make our own yishtabachs and shemeshes. We make them every day. We put them in the brown bag, and we offer them up to the Baruch Sharma. We say, here you go. Here's today's ashray. Enjoy. But they're waiting over there. For that regular ashray, the regular shemeshes. They're waiting over there. Because the other side, they're very familiar with this guy's davening, and they know these tefillahs by heart. We know Ashrei by heart. They also know Ashrei by heart, and they're waiting there. There are no surprises. There's no surprise. He made his own Shemoneh Esrei. He does the same thing every day. Come on, the marshal, al haderech hakvusha. Lamosh, you're going on a main road. There's a main road. Hayiduah mefurshim kol. This is a big road. Everybody knows this is the main way to get from Aleph to Beis. That's the main road. Shom Orvim writes from a Gazlonim Talmud. In those days, Rabbi Nachman, it was where they were living. You had these guys. They were even called, I think they were called highwaymen, right? They were ganovim. That was their malacha. That they would be on the sides of the roads. And since there were very, very few paved or even not pavement, actual roads. So the Ganovim knew that those were the outposts to wait for people who were passing through with their schorah, with their merchandise and their money. And they would wait there. Now, if you wanted to avoid that, you had to go through the forest and the mountains. It was a whole mahalach. So they had very few choices. They would go on that main road. That's how they traveled. People traveled on the main road. And that's where the Ganovim, that's why people used to take with them guys with guns or guys that you have to take with you people to watch you. There's no place in the world you have to do that. I mean, you can't just go around. You can't just drive around. You have to take bodyguards with you. Because they know that's the mahalach, that's the road, and that's where they should wait. That's where they wait for you, by that place. So Rabbi Nachman said, Shom Orvim Roitzim Gazlanim Tomid. That's where all the Roitzim, the murderers and the thieves are waiting. Because the Gazlonim and the Rotskim, they know that this is the way. They know that this is the path. So that's the highway, it's the main road. When a person is able to find a new mahalach, a different way to get to the destination, a different way. Kshalchem b'nesiv, a path, a derech chadash, something new. Sheina noida adayin, that's not yet known. Sham einem yoidim laruv shem klal. There, they don't know to wait for you, for your tefillos. It's your own path, your own words, your own path, your own tefillos. Yeah, they're not waiting for you. K'mechem l'inyana now. Again, Rabbi Nachman wasn't suggesting this as a possibility. This is something that he knew. That those talks that a person has, his bodhis with Hashem, that are private, that are personal, that are using your own words. That's a new tefillah. It's a new derech. It's a new road. It's a new path. Sha'adam oimra milibo michadash. Because it just came out of your heart right now. Something new. Just come out of your heart. Okay. Einem makatrugim mitzuyim kol kach leru. That doesn't mean there can't be any kitrugim. There still can be gazlonim and rotzim. It can be. Because depending upon how sincere and the yeshiva das, there could be other factors that could affect the quality of this about this as well. But what Rabbi Nachman says, it's not a popular place for the Rotschim and the Gazlonim to hang out. It's not a hangout. It's not a popular spot. The Rotschim and the Gazlonim, my wife showed me yesterday, they turned over a car of a Jew and they were throwing stones in Yerushalayim at this car. And you got, I'm just wondering, why, thank God he wasn't killed, the guy. There was a police that had a gun and they helped him out. Like, why did you drive over there in such a time? Maybe there was a certain shawarma he was looking for. I don't know. Like, why are you driving there? Like, why are you driving there when the animals are out of the cage? I don't know. It wasn't like it happened in the middle of Ashdod or Ashkelon. It was a place where they're hanging out, and this guy's driving there. Now I remember when I was years ago, I was driving, and there was no Waze, and I was driving as a cell, and I got fablamjit, and I went into some village, and at that time they weren't killing chaver like that, you know, that did that, but they stood around the car and they were pushing it and they were making, you know, like trying to, you know, to scare me. And there was an old Arab guy that started yelling at them and chased them away. It's pretty scary. That's before it got like this, the way it is now. And that's why the ways in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be careful, you know, to get to the right roads. You're on the wrong road, there's much more of a likelihood that there's something there that shouldn't be there. You can get into trouble. That's like Abba Davin. We have our regular tefillos, Baruch Hashem, and we have to say them, as he just says right now. We have to say all the regular tefillos. But those regular tefillos are in greater danger of being stopped along the way. The same way that if you see that, God forbid, someone has a child that's sick, lo aleinu, or a loved one that's sick, and he's going to daven to the Baruch Hashem in his own words, please, 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 Hashem, help me, my kid is dying, help me, my kid is dying. So you'll never see such a guy like looking on his cell phone. It will never happen. It can't happen. He's not going to take out his cell phone. But by Ashrei and by Yishtabach, it's not uncommon anymore to see people taking out their phones, looking at Chazos Hashanah, or whatever. It's not uncommon. Because it's not their own tefillah. It's somebody else's tefillah. Now you could take ownership. That's a madrega in davening. But when you're davening your own words, it's already a different path. It's a new path. It's a safer path. But Rabbi Nachman, of course, said, "Vafal pichein hizim ma'od gamal al mius shar tchinus abakashes." Rabbi Nachman warned us that this is not the substitute for the regular davening in chas v'chalil. Not only that, Rabbi Nachman used to say everything and all the mamadis, all the tehillim, and he used to say Shabbos mius. The brassos, they say all the mius, everything. There are no Jews in the world that say as much of the stuff that's printed as brassos. So it's not just his burdens. It's that all the regular tefillos also are very powerful. And other rabbis, through his bodhis, we're able to come more into our regular tefillos, into our regular zmirs, into our tchinas. We're able to have to find more of a personal connection with those words that were written by other people. The people who are isik in his bodhis, they're able to see something more personal, more direct, even in other people's words, even the words that were written by somebody else. Had they tefillah of his bodhis, evshel lishbaras alev ha'evet, larim el Hashem. Chaim Aran, it's brought down in Chaim Aran. Pam achas diber Rabbeinu zechon levroche Rabbi Yaakov Yosef mi'in avedes Hashem kedak v'tomid. So Rabbi Nachman is speaking to this person, to this chassid. V'sipeloi marshal amelach sheshalach zibnoi l'merchokim l'umayt chachmas. Rabbi Nachman said over to this Yaakov Yosef, a marshal of a king that sent his son far away to go learn different chachmas, to go to school, to study something far away. Achakach bo ha-ben l'beis amelach m'lumad b'kol chachmas k'roi. And the son comes back, and he's very educated with all the chachmas. Pam achas siva amalech ala ben likach eiz ze'evan gadol mo'ed. It's also a very famous Moshe Rabbi Nachman. So the father wanted to test how smart his son, how educated he became, by going away to study. So the father tested him, and the king commanded his son to take a big boulder, an evan gadol. Like it's used in the Rechaim and the press, a big boulder. The king told his son, this educated son, that's got a degree from some fancy university, he told him, "I want you to bring up this boulder to take it to the upstairs in the palace. To take it upstairs." The son couldn't do that. Maybe try to use levers or a rope. And the rule is that you have nobody else to help you. You got to do it on your own. Kevin got a little covered mode. It was very heavy. He couldn't. And it's Tara Ben Mo'id. So here you have this son that just came out of, he just came out of Harvard at Princeton with a PhD. And he's not able to do this. And he was very upset. He couldn't do what his father, the king, asked. But the king came and said, "No, no. With all of your degrees, all of your degrees didn't help you." The king says, "Do you think that I would tell you on your own that you should be able to carry something that weighs a ton to carry it upstairs? That I meant to carry this the way that it is, to lift it up to carry?" Even with all of your chachmas and all your degrees, you have no way to carry this upstairs. The king says to his son, "That wasn't my intention at all. My intention was you should take a hammer and knock and clap and to smash it into thousands of little pieces. And slowly to carry them upstairs, the pieces upstairs. Taka utafait seitzes ha'evan machatichas ktanis, to break the stone into small pieces. This is a very deep marshal. Ubezetucha lahalas oyesal haliyah. It's the same thing with the Yitzhar. With the lev ha'evan, Rabbi Nachman said, with the stone heart. K'moichen Hashem Yisbarach siv aleinu. The Baruch Shem commanded us, "Shenisolav avenu el kapayim el kel b'shamayim." He told us to lift up our hearts to Him. Hashem told us, lift our hearts up to Him. The problem is, "Levavenu hu lev ha'evin." In Golus, the Navi already described that the heart of a Jew is a lev ha'evin. It's like a stone, like a boulder. It's a lev ha'evin. "Vu ha'evin gadol v'kavod ma'od." And the heart is a stone, it's very, very heavy. A boulder is very heavy. Eef shalahar masal Hashem is bokhushu life. and the heart is weighed down with years of averus and seeing the wrong things and saying the wrong things and all kinds of shtiyot, and the heart is mamish stone. It's a boulder. It's so heavy. And the Baruch Shalom says, he wants us nisal avin al kapayim al kel b'shamayim to lift our hearts up to him, but the hearts are too heavy. We can't do it. There's only one way, Rabbi Nachman said. Because you can't, your mother and your father can't do that for you. Your friends can't do that for you. Only if we take a hammer and we smash the heart of stone. We smash it. And then it's possible to lift it up. Rabbi Nachman said, what is the hammer? Speaking. Talking. That's the hammer. It's a very deep muscle. There are many things in our lives that are holding us back that we just can't. We can't lift up. We can't. If a person or a lady goes through some tragedy, God forbid something happens, someone that you love is chalila, something happens, and the heart is too heavy to lift up. The heart is too heavy to lift up. The person is weighed down by tzaras, by bad memories, by things that happened when he was young. The heart has become obviously like a boulder. You can't lift it up. The only aids is to take the hammer and to break that heart to a million little pieces. And the Rabbi Nachman taught us that hammer is his boulder speaking. Even if that person goes and talks to a friend about the tzara, or to a therapist about the tzara, Allah has come over come when you go speak to HaKadosh Baruch a million billion times more. That you could break the boulder into little pieces, and then you're able to carry the pieces. That's really what Nechama is all about. When you go through Menachem Avo, if you're good at helping people or alone, or in that situation, when you go through Shiva to be Menachem Avo, it means that you have a way that through your Diburim, the words that you say, you're able to break that heart into smaller pieces. So the person feels, somehow I'll be able to manage this. I'm going to somehow survive this tragedy. And if you know how to speak, Ladabra Alev, if you know how to speak to the heart of somebody, it's a tremendous koch to be able to do that, to speak to the heart of a person, to be able to break the heart. Not the way breaking heart in a bad way, but in this way, to break the heart so that it doesn't seem, because when the person is in that place of the boulder because of something, it's horror because of something that happened terrible, chas v'shalom, or a lifetime of misery or suffering, whatever. So he doesn't feel he can lift it. He can't lift it. He's just stuck. There's nothing he can do. And a good friend, a Rebbe, a good therapist, has to find a way to make that person feel that even though this is so hard, and it hurts me so much. You can get up from Shiva. You can get up. You'll be able to live afterwards. You'll be able to live. My wife was watching. She showed me that somebody sent her a clip. This is very harsh of a lady. My wife read a book about her. Parrots? Miriam Parrots? Is that the right name? Miriam Parrots? Yeah. So my wife read this book that she's written, this poem from this lady who went through such sorrows, Lalein. Both of her sons were killed, and the Israeli soldiers that were killed, and the husband, God, Christ, man. Terrible things. And she was going to the different houses, the families that, after Meron, she was going to different houses to talk to Mishpachas. And there was a clip that was sent to me. I didn't know that it was this Miriam. So I said, wow, this lady really is something. And she spoke to the kids. And my wife said to me, this is her name. And she, my wife read this book about Miriam Peres. And she was talking to the children. And she was saying she was singing with these kids, and she had a hand on the daughters, a bunch of sons and the daughters. So she had a hand on the girl, and she was making nice, and she was saying to the kids that she was talking to them a little bit about how life will continue. And she said that, you know, I'll tell you that I had two sons that were chayalim, and they were killed, and my husband was killed. And you see, I'm talking, I'm smiling, I'm talking to you, I'm alive. And I'm able to smile and to enjoy being with you and so on. And the children were looking at her. Because the children, they couldn't imagine that there was any way to live after this. How could you live after you go through this? And she says, look at me. I'm a person, there's Menachem Oval. The whole chokhmah of that is how to find a way to make the boulder seem like something that's not a boulder, it's a rock. And a rock can shlep. It's possible to carry. A boulder you can't carry. But a rock, pebbles, you could carry. You could carry. That's what it means to be a good friend, to be a rebbe, to give chizuk. That the person before them is chazuk, they see this is something like I can't. And if you're successful, then the person will feel it's hard, but I can. It's hard, but I can. And I will. That's what chizuk is. There are people that are never so tzedrach, they can't hear that at all. And it could be that the biggest tzaddik in the world would go to that person and would give divrei chizuk. And sometimes you have a person that's so tzedrach that they can't hear anything. And a friend of mine whose parents were from Krakow, and they went through 5 years of the Gehenna, and he said his mother was like, he said, I don't remember my mother ever smiling. That's what he told me once. We were in 10th grade, and there was like a parents thing with some kind of a chidon, I don't know, but the parents were there, and so I was talking to my parents were there, and his parents were there, and he said to me, wow, your mother smiles. So he said, my mother never smiles, never saw my mother smile. So I said, my mother was in Auschwitz for 13, 14 months, your mother was there for 4 years, 5 years. His mother never smiled. That's what he said. I don't remember my mother ever smiling. This is, how do you live into, how do you do that? But the Rishayim made such a boulder on this lady's heart that even their children couldn't find a way to, usually children have a way of doing that. Even, he said, even the children, he said, I never remember my mother ever smiling. That's the job that they did on her. But very few people that we know have such a situation like that. And mostly our idea is to try to smash that, to break it down. It's interesting lesson that they used for a person who has a heart that's very, very, very stony, that's very heavy, and they don't know how to go on with their lives. So the expression that they use when they're taking drugs and drinking is to get stoned. I don't know how that lashon began. I'm sure that's you can look that up on the Google. Where did that expression begin? Getting stoned? Means they become, sounds the simple pshat is they become insensitive to the pain that they feel. All addictions are rooted in that. How to numb the pain. All addictions. Drinking, drugs, smoking, sex. All the addictions have one thing in common, how to numb myself from feeling pain. Because I whatever that pain is, but I don't want to have that pain. I can't deal with that pain. So there are ways to, these addictions are used to numb the pain. Davening is a much better model. Davening is much better. It's kosher kein geld. It's healthy. It's a machaya. Davening. That's what his brother said. It's much, much better. Much better. It's legal in all states. You don't have to live in New York or in Los Angeles. So I don't know if there's still states that it's illegal. There are. Probably in Montana. You know? but in New York, it's already legal. Yeah. You don't have to, a person doesn't have to run away. Okay, let's go that one.
Right.